بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, I am still in Nigeria, in Kaduna, and tomorrow we have a short tarbiyah session, and then on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we have the Sira Solution Workshop in Kaduna, inshallah. One bit of good news, alhamdulillah, is that my book, Leadership Lessons from the Life of Rasulullah, has been translated now into Hausa, which is a language, one of the major languages of Nigeria, spoken by about 50 million people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his acceptance. This is one of the lessons of my life, the kind of barakah that comes into your life when you do the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no way I can explain this. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easy, it's unbelievable. Kaduna is a very interesting place. It's a place of contrasts. On the one hand, you have big mansions. On the other hand, you have terrible poverty. This is the usual story in most of the so-called developing world, including, of course, India. Interesting, some things which I learnt almost for the first time. One is that last two times we came to Kaduna, we stayed outside the city in fifth chakra, so we were away from the city. But this time, we are staying in the middle, in the heart of the city. And interestingly, this is the only place I have seen, apart from the Haramain, where there is adhan for tahajjud, and that happens every day. So at 4 o'clock, adhan starts going off, and then there is a second adhan at the time of Fajr. You know, obviously it means that there are people praying tahajjud enough for this to be a norm, which is a very encouraging thing, mashallah, for us to think about. Then we had yesterday a very interesting session for the whole day, which was for Quranic teachers. So basically it was people running madaris, especially tahfiz madaris, and teachers who were teaching Quran. So in that program we had one person who was a professor of Islamic studies from one of the universities here. He's written several books. His PhD is on tafsir itself, so he's an expert on tafsir of the Quran. We had one person who owns a school. We had several other people who were, and all the others, they were all teachers of Quran. Most of them were Hufaz, and some of them were Qaris. Some of them were imams of their own masajid. And very interesting thing which I learnt was that from a couple of them, that in the traditional system of education in Nigeria, which is followed here as well as it is followed in the families of these people, which is that after the hafiz of the Quran, after the person does hifz, he has to write personally by hand. He has to write the entire Quran from cover to cover. So he has his own personal mushaf. So when he finishes writing this, it is checked and so on. And only when that has been done, is he allowed to go to a regular school. Now, I thought that's such a fantastic way of teaching, and how writing it embeds it in your memory, in your heart. And this labor of love of writing the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your own hand, and knowing that that is the mushaf that you personally wrote, and this is something that, you know, stays with you lifelong. And this is, since it's a tradition here, it's been going on for generations. So obviously each family has several such mushafs from each generation. So, for example, I would have my own, and my father's would be there, and my grandfather's, and my great-grandfather's, and so on. I thought, what a wonderful, wonderful system. The second thing which was a huge eye-opener for me was the humility of the people who came to this course. Wallahi, Allah is witness, as far as Islamic studies is concerned, every single one of them was more qualified than I am. But they were in the class. Their grace, their respectful attitude towards the teacher, whatever little the teacher can teach them, their whole, their whole demeanor in the class. We did that again in a workshop format. So I began with a lecture on what I consider to be important things in teaching Quran, and then we did a brainstorming in terms of what are the requirements, individual personal requirements of the individual who wants to become a Quran teacher, and secondly the requirements, collective requirements for teaching Quran, which means for the students, what are the things that we need to focus on, and the third thing we said is for the students themselves, if you want to be a student of the Quran, what are the requirements. And all of this, the way they engaged, the way they did those exercises with so much of interest and enthusiasm and such high quality work, I said, subhanAllah, look at this, where we have people who are learned, who are highly qualified, and yet they have not lost, they have not allowed arrogance to come into them. They don't come there with the attitude to say that, you know, I am a graduate from such and such a university, such and such a Darul Uloom, such and such a madrasa, and who can teach me anything? They don't look at the teacher to say, well, you know, who is this guy? Where is he from? It so happened coincidentally that we started the course, and we did not do any introductions in the beginning of the course. So effectively, when they were listening to me, they didn't even know, I mean, they didn't know me from a bar of soap. I mean, there was a couple of them who had come for the LEC, so they knew me, and maybe they had introduced me to their friends, but they didn't have any idea. And at the end of the thing, one of them suggested, he said, no, we have not done any ta'aruf, so let us do that. So alhamdulillah, when we did, and that's when I, for my part, that's when I even discovered who they were. That there was this, there was a professor, there was of Islamic studies, there were all these teachers. I knew they were teachers, but when they spoke about their qualifications, interestingly, almost all of them have a Islamic qualification, plus they have a qualification in something else. So there was somebody who was an engineer and doing this, somebody who is a software engineer who is focused on building apps, and then he is also a Quranic teacher, and so on and so forth. So there are people with qualifications both in the dunya as well as in the deen. And I thought this is again a unique thing as far as Nigeria is concerned. Alhamdulillah, traveling broadens your perspective and opens your heart, and it's very good to see Muslims doing good things. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Obviously, there are, Nigeria, like any other country, has its own issues and so on and so forth. That's not my job here to talk about that. I'm not analyzing Nigeria here. So, for anyone who thinks that I'm only speaking once or talking about one side of the picture, no, I'm not. I know the other side of the picture as well, but that's not relevant here. What is relevant is for us to reflect and focus from this course. Is the thing that came out very strongly, and of course I must say that this was also my goal, and alhamdulillah, everybody there seemed to agree, was the absolutely critical importance of tazkiyah wa tarbiyah for anyone who is teaching and learning the Quran. And obviously that description applies to every single Muslim, because it doesn't apply only to the teachers of Quran. It applies to the teachers of Quran even more emphatically, but definitely it applies to everyone else also, because we are all of us as Muslims, we are either teaching or learning the Quran. So the point I'm making is that the importance, therefore, of tazkiyah wa tarbiyah, the importance of purifying your own heart, purifying your own life, purifying your own actions, purifying your own behavior, the impact of living a life which is in line with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and according to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, quite clearly what came out, and everybody agreed, all these scholars, that it is not possible and feasible for someone to live in a state of nifaq, where on the one hand we say that we are learning Quran, we are teaching Quran, whether it is formally as teachers, whether it is as parents to our children, whether it's to each other, yet in our lives there is open disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is lack of concern about the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we do not feel any hijab or any takalluf or any kind of hesitation in breaking the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live our lives in a state of selective obedience. We do what we feel like doing. And if there is something that we should do or something that we should not do because Allah ordered that, we just brush it aside, we make some excuse, or we do nothing, we just brush it aside. We don't even bother to think closely about why, about what we are doing. Now, obviously, all of this results in a great musibat for the person, because we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even more so, those who are or consider themselves to be knowledgeable about Islam, those who consider themselves to be ulama, those who consider themselves to be scholars, must hold themselves to a higher standard of behavior and obedience than anyone else. The second very important thing that came across was the focus on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the course of teaching and learning. So obviously things like beating children, things like teaching only the words, only the Arabic without the meaning, absolutely unanimously everyone was of the opinion that knowing Arabic language is critical for anyone who wants to teach Quran. And anyone who does not know Arabic, if that person teaches Quran, then that person is making a grave mistake, because that person is going to mislead people because you do not know the language. They said that knowing Arabic in great depth and so forth is perhaps not required, but not knowing Arabic at all, this is completely complete unacceptable. So just teaching Quran, you know, using translations, this is completely unacceptable. And I think that I completely agree with that. And there's no doubt in my mind. And that's why it is, I was thinking to myself that if we apply this standard to say that for somebody who does not know Arabic, it is not permissible, I'm not making fatwa here, I'm saying this is what yesterday we agreed in the workshop. That for someone who does not know Arabic, for him or her to teach Quran is not acceptable. I'm saying that if this standard is applied, especially in our countries, in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, then it will disqualify 95% or 99% of the teachers of Quran, because almost nobody knows Arabic. And they all insist on teaching without teaching the meaning. And the shameful thing is that even parents who hire these ustads to come and teach their children, they accept this. They accept this completely illogical, absolutely idiotic statement that if the child knows the language, then he cannot make hifz of the Quran. This is what we are told by these people. It's an absolute lie and it's a total shame. And I think that the parents must hold themselves responsible. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold them responsible for supporting this kind of ignorance, where the ustad has no shame in saying that learning of Arabic as a language is not required in order to make hifz of the Quran. I think this is an absolute shame. One is you don't know Arabic and you are making an effort, that's a different matter. But to state that it is not required is a sign of gross ignorance and foolishness, And the person who is doing that is obviously a jahil of the highest order, and the people who are supporting that, by hiring such people to teach them or teach their children, they are supporting this ignorance. I very, very strongly want to emphasize this point, and I ask you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stop doing this. Tell those ustads, either you teach the meaning of what you are teaching my child, or otherwise, sorry, you go find yourself another job. I think it's very important for us to focus on this and to do this very strongly. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to each other, to open our hearts to our brothers and sisters from different cultures, to enable us to really feel the brotherhood of Islam. Alhamdulillah, when I come to Nigeria, I surely, surely feel that. The true brotherhood of Islam, the way people are with us here, the love and the affection and the respect and the honor, subhanAllah, it is really very, very nice to be here. I am most grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am most grateful to all of these beautiful people. May Allah bless them, may Allah protect them, may Allah protect their country, may Allah resolve their problems and issues. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.